Connected Tech Talks, the podcast from ITS. My usual co-host is here with me.
Hi, Catherine,
partner in crime. How are you?
I'm good. Good to be back.
Excellent. So, and today we've got Kevin McNulty, who's ITS's strategy director and all-round market expert, who's going to have a chat with us about state of the market, some other stuff. See where the conversation goes.
Fantastic. Yeah.
Welcome, Kevin.
Thank you very much. Good to be here.
So if we dive straight in, sorry to cut you off at your knees there. What is your job role at ITS?
Well, my job role is to set the direction for the business over the coming months and the coming years. And, you know, most people think strategy is 2 to 5 years out. You know, what's going to happen? What we should be doing as a business? In doing that, the team I control is the product team. We're developing products to meet customers' expectations and hopefully exceed them. Building the investment cases of new things we should invest in terms of new networks that we want to build and the technology that we use. I need to keep an eye on what's happening in the market overall to see how ITS will be placed in that market to compete. And lastly, I have a responsibility towards how we're regulated, because our industry is a regulated industry. And as we've grown, we have a role to make sure that the market stays competitive and works for all, and particularly, of course, ourselves.
How does the career you're in now align to what you thought you'd do when you grow up, when you were younger?
Suggest he's grown up.
Yeah.
What do you
want
to do when you grow up?
Well, I happened to telecoms. Actually, when I first left college, I had a sort of idea that I wanted to join the police, and actually went to join the Met Police. And it was during the interview process, I hadn't got any places immediately available, that someone said, why don't you go work in telecoms? And I said, telephone, because at the time, a lot of people still had dial telephones, but a lot of these listeners won't remember dial telephones. They said, yeah, it's a growth technology sector. It's going to be amazing. And I did go and get a job, but I never joined the police. And very soon after I started, the mobile phone that we've come to know as ubiquitous now came about, and I've rode the technology waves over the last decades, and it's been super. I mean, I love technology anyway, and being a part of it and being a part of what I've seen grow from when a 2 megabit circuit was seen to be amazing, amazing bandwidth, where today we're regularly delivering 1 at 10 and moving towards 40 and 100 gigabit. It's just incredible.
The Netflix stream is 10 meg, and we were dishing out 2 meg Ethernet connections. It just brings it into perspective, doesn't it? One Netflix stream is 10
meg. You've got to think, in 19, the retail price of a 2 meg circuit was approaching £3,000 a month. So it quickly did fall, but actually the way that the bank built the technology and been able to reduce its costs is amazing.
Certainly.
So how would you describe the current IT and tech market?
Well, I think we've been through different revolutions. I mean, the first revolution was, and something that I was the first moves between analog and digital technology, and that we saw the role of datacoms, and for a lot of people, the first datacoms they saw appearing anywhere real was around the fax machine. Not true digital technology, but nevertheless, it pointed the way, and it was running across some infrastructure, became digital, and something called ISDN. That market developed. And the thing that changed then, the revolution happened, was the creation of the internet, right? Which actually gave a purpose to the fact that we have digital capability. And you know, everyone knows how quickly the internet grew, and then the devices that we use to interact when the internet came along, and gradually the applications became more sophisticated. Now we're looking at the next generation of applications, which, guess what, need more network, which is very good for our business. And that next generation is all around AI. And I don't suppose you got through any podcast without someone mentioning those two initials.
I might ban it.
But, you know, that's one of the things that's going to really drive change, but in all kinds of different ways. One of the things that I was really surprised and encouraged about, but you know, I wonder how things will sometimes develop, is that in the industry we're in, we're developing technology that, you know, could eradicate the call centre in the next few years. It's already possible for a business to take calls as it does at the moment, record all those calls, record all the answers that are given, create a database of all the calls they've received from customers and all the communications, and gave all the answers they ever gave, put into one massive AI-generated or generative AI machine, and then anybody who calls subsequently wouldn't need to be answered by a person. Mm. It'll be answered by the AI application. That has a power to be transformative in a lot of parts of our industry. But guess what it needs to have? There's loads of comms to make it work.
The human in the loop.
That's the second time you've said that.
I like saying it. I think people need to kind of remember it as well. But, I mean, AI, we hear a lot about IoT, 5G, and I guess some of that impact on cities. And I know that's something we kind of talked at length about in terms of how connected cities are becoming. What kind of work are we seeing, and how interesting is that as a kind of a trend at the moment?
There's a lot of interesting trends around IoT, but I would, you know, this is one of the things about, you know, technology hype, technology reality. So, you know, 15 years ago, 20 years ago, people were talking about IoT, Internet of Things, everything will be connected. And, you know, people went to absurd levels. You know, your iron will be connected to the Internet, right? Why would your iron be connected to the Internet? Or why would your fridge be connected to the Internet? What's that actually going to do? So some of the hype has happened, but some things are happening now at some pace. And I think the creation of digital cameras, digital CCTV cameras that are capable of image recognition is a really big development. And I think traditionally the store of the past in a retail environment required very little bandwidth, right? Typically, they'd have their EPOS machine, a bit of FPOS. You know, a little broadband line would probably suffice. But let's imagine what a shop of the future looks like. The shop of the future, firstly, how can digitization meet some of the challenges? Well, one of the biggest problems that shops face is actually leakage.
Mm-hmm.
People taking things out the front door, mm-hmm. and unfortunately, some people taking things out the back door,
mm-hmm.
right? So imaging technology, which doesn't require someone to sit there 24 hours a day just staring at a screen, right, which is enabled by some of the latest applications where it can detect products moving out of the shop without being paid for, right, it's going to be really important. And that same technology can be applied to the fact that actually you may have already seen it in a couple of outlets some people might have visited, where you authenticate when you go through the front door and of the shop, and you walk out of the shop, and it just debits your card.
Like Excel, the other week.
Yeah.
Coffee was terrible, but the technology was great.
Yeah, there was. Excel was great. And that's for high-capacity venues. Mm. That's a kind of shop of the future. It's enabled by Internet of Things technology. I also think on the street, it's clear that there'll be greater integration between the electrical vehicle and the networks that they went over. Now, everyone's talking about the hype cycle. Again, a few years ago, everyone thought we'd be driverless cars. That's at the far end, right, of where we're going. That is probably at least 10 years out from today. Maybe it'll be longer. It does require amazing amount of processing to do that. And there's a load of other attendant issues around insurances and those other things. But what will we see? What we will see is networks EV charge in the streets. That is absolutely essential, because the EV revolution and the delivery environment can't happen where the only way you can really charge your car is if you've got a driveway and a garage. Too many people in cities haven't got that luxury. So you need street side charging, and you need to be able to find a street side charger. It needs to be accurate, be billion, and it needs to put you in the right space at the right time, at the right thing. And all of that is about digital enablement, and that's facilitated by fiber networks.
Yeah.
But do you think the killer application is going to be that will demand the bandwidth that we've created? So right now, we've probably got access to more bandwidth than we've ever had, fixed and mobile. But actually, most people don't need all the bandwidth that's available to them. Not spot have you excluded from that statement, but gigabit connectivity is relatively ubiquitous all of a sudden. What do you think the killer application is going to be that demands that?
But just before I talk about that one, but maybe linked to it, is that in terms of business networks we provide, at the moment it's more about how big is your pipe, right? And customers are tended to buy on how big is their pipe. I do think that what we will see over the next few years is some more focus on what the industry knows as QoS, or quality of service. And whether we like it or not, not all internet is necessarily equal. Right? So I do think that we will see some higher value services, guaranteed services, which are absolutely necessary. Some of the things I've just spoken about in terms of the applications coming through need high quality, constant bandwidth, need assurance. I see as we develop our infrastructure, other people develop theirs, particularly in the business space, there'll be both a march to size, but also a march to quality. That will be good for our industry and different priority levels. And that's something I expect us to deliver. So thinking about the product portfolio, at the moment, people talk about things called SD-WAN. So what, SD-WAN, software-defined wide area networking, allows business customers to say what is their priority traffic. I don't know, their video conferencing suite for their board members being the highest and guest access being the lowest, voice being higher than maybe web browsing. That technology has not been very easily deployed to smaller businesses. The people who benefit from that technology tend to be the corporates. We're thinking already about whether we could launch a network resident SD-WAN in a box kind of idea, right? So that our customers could actually select different service sets and different responsiveness and actually integrate their different premises together in the best way, whilst also giving them a greater level of security. Now, are we going to launch SD-WAN in the box in the next 6 months? No. Right. But are we going to look at it and we're going to try and work that through the system? Yes, we are. Right. And so you asked me at the start, what I thought was important in terms of strategy. Someone's got to do that thinking. Mm. Someone's got to do that preparation. And that's a part of what happens in my function at the moment, is thinking, how would that happen? How would we make that work? How can we bring that new service to market to our customers in future years, because I think it'd be an excellent partner-based proposition to have something that can help to differentiate them in the marketplace and helps their customers be successful.
How do you ensure that you're on the cutting edge of knowing about this kind of stuff? You must have quite a bit of surface area, if you will, in terms of exposure to forums, industry,
technology. Well, I think one of the things is that it's a bit like going fishing. You can waste a lot of time sitting on the bank thinking you're catching something valuable. So, I've talked about a couple of things I really believe in, right? So I really do believe that we will see person in this call centre, right? I really do think we're going to see the automated shop, right?
I've seen that already.
Exactly. One of the things I spent a lot of time fishing in a year ago was private 5G. How can we take advantage of something called 5G, and also get excited about it. This is the idea that we replace Wi-Fi networks
in big spaces
with a discrete 5G system, and we'll get very excited about it. The thing why it isn't going to happen and why it hasn't happened is there's no scale to that marketplace that allows the device costs to be low enough to replace Wi-Fi, because Wi-Fi is ubiquitous and cheap. Right? So if you're going to disintermediate it by some other product, you're going to have to be somewhere close to that price, and that is impossible at the moment. So how do we go about it? Well, we go fishing, and sometimes we build up and put something that's worth developing. But actually, you know, unfortunately, you know, it all turns to Pareto, 80-20.
Yeah.
You know, in the strategy business, you'd probably say, you know, 80% of your time is on a waste of time. 20%, well, hopefully, you're liberated from the value. I'm not quite sure about that. But, yeah, it's only the fewer things that we investigate and look at. But, you know, I'm asking my team and the wider business. I mean, actually, you know, Dave is sitting here by me. You know, salespeople are the best people to bring insight.
Salespeople are the best people.
I'm not sure if I completely agree with that. I said they are the best people. We love our salespeople. We love everybody else's salespeople. But you know, the fact is that salespeople bring back insight to our business. They don't just sell products; they bring insight. And you know, I get calls from Dave's team saying, "Have you heard about this? Have you thought about that?" And that gives us a place to go. And ultimately, we want to deliver great value in terms of the products we sell, which often means price.
Mm.
But we really want to be more than that, deliver great service and innovation.
Thinking about technology, innovation, things that have changed your life, what piece of tech couldn't you live without?
I'm a bit of an addict to my mobile phone. Right?
Saw that in that picture that was shared on WhatsApp last night.
Exactly. And me and my wife, we compare, not in a good way, how many screen hours we've been on the phone.
Claire's high as well, I know.
Claire's high, yeah. I tell you, unfortunately, we regularly record over 5 hours a day. Don't ask me how. But I'm not sure. Do you know how many hours you spend?
Five-ish, yeah. But you use it for work. I only have one device. So when I had two devices, my personal one was obviously a lot lower. But I only have one device now.
I don't think I could live without my phone. I asked who could. So I was lucky enough to go to the Wimbledon fight recently. When the fight was so keen to get out on this balcony area, I tripped over the little step to get there, and my mobile phone went flying out of my hand, right, and crashed to the floor. I almost crashed to the floor, and at one stage I thought it was going to fall because it's sort of like one of the higher power pits. I thought it was going to fall about 30 metres, but luckily it didn't happen. But when I picked up my phone, it was crazed, and it's crazed that a part of the screen, which is really vital, you know, the top part, you know, I realise now is that most of the things you want to read are in the top part. They're never at the bottom part of the front screen. I realised how impossible it was to live without a mobile phone. I think the other bits of technology that I really enjoy is that I do like vehicles, motorbikes, and I like working on them a little bit. And I've got a car and a camper van, so I like mechanical things that have a sort of electrical interface.
Hmm.
So, Kevin, you mentioned private 5G as an example, and we worked together putting content together ahead of Connect Britain back in the year, and we referenced a few pieces of technology that they never really lived up to the hype. So, question, which is from a previous guest, is what is a piece of technology that never made the cut, if you will, that actually you quite liked?
Well, I mean, the piece of technology I liked is related to my problems with BlackBerry. I love my BlackBerry, like a lot of people. And I love that little keyboard.
Or status symbol as well.
I could type at the speed of light on that little keyboard. And it did everything. It was super reliable. Mm. It was battery powered.
Yeah.
I mean, today, it's really interesting because most mobile phones will struggle to deliver the same amount of battery life as a BlackBerry.
Mm.
But some things have moved forward and some things haven't. So I miss my BlackBerry hugely. It's so sad that's disappeared.
It was such a status symbol in corporate life, though, weren't there? When you reached the dizzy heights that afforded you a corporate BlackBerry, you knew you'd made it.
I had a Nokia 6210, which was my work phone.
That was the business.
And a BlackBerry, because BlackBerry didn't have voice capability on it. So BlackBerry was almost like voice. your little mobile inbox, and that was your... And I
loved... The first one was email.
Yeah.
The push emails. Yeah. And then they brought the later ones out that also had phone capability, and they brought out Biz, which was like the internet service, which meant you could bring in other emails that weren't on a corporate platform to it. But it was the most secure device that the US president used one long after they kind of shouldn't have been.
Oh, right. Mm-hmm. Okay.
The platform was completely locked down.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting that, because this is where you look at, you know, functionality, the functionality you could see and the functionality you can't.
Mm-hmm.
So... The functionality of a BlackBerry in terms of security was amazing. The functionality of a mobile phone is far, for most people, is far inferior. In fact, protecting your mobile phone is one of the big challenges. I miss that a lot. Just trying to think what other bits of technology have gone missing over the years. You buy something and you think you will use it more than you actually do. And, you know, I had to buy an electric bike, and I was really, really keen on it. I haven't used it as much because it's a piece of technology that unfortunately comes with weight.
Mm. Right. An extra weight at the back.
So, yeah. So I could just bundle a normal pedal bike in the back of your car.
Mm. Mm.
But unfortunately, my 23-kilo electric bike is not something you'll just throw in the back of the car unless you want to injure yourself. So, you know, it's a really interesting thing that, you know, sometimes... Yeah, that's great. That piece of tech is fantastic, but it sometimes comes with a downside, which makes it difficult to use.
I think there's just a lot of kitchen gadgets that are just. We bought a steamer, but as soon as set it up, used it, cleaned it. It's like it's a great idea, but actually, it's more effort to use the steamer than it is to whack a pan on. And some sort of, like, a lot of kitchen gadgets are like that. I'm enjoying the bread maker.
I told you about my favourite kitchen gadget.
Which one? The meat thermometer?
Meat thermometer.
You haven't mentioned it. What do you do with it?
It's my most favourite piece of tech. So whenever this question gets asked, Kevin, which is what piece of tech couldn't you live without, I always throw my little analogue meat thermometer in there.
Well.
Just a couple of guesses.
I think it's really interesting that, you know, if you look at most kitchens, right, a lot of people come and live there. Expensive kitchen design and come along and help them design their kitchens. Right. All those extra cupboards are just to put the toaster not being used, the sandwich maker not being used, the steamer, some weird coffee machine you've bought, you know, and all those things, and they gradually get sort of pushed under the cabinets. Not to be pulled out until you get the next kitchen refurb. Right.
Super in one of my cupboards.
Yeah, same.
I like a nice cup of coffee. Right. So I have bought some really complicated coffee machines, often based on looks. But I haven't said to the salesperson, well, how do you actually work? Like, well, how many things do I have to grind here to make the thing work? And I'll constantly refer back to the espresso machine, which I know is not 100% environmentally friendly.
The bean to cup.
But it's, yes.
The bean to cup with a button rather than a fanny around and all that jazz.
And now I've just bought myself an espresso machine, which combines the two fantastic things. It looks really complicated. It's full of silver and it's got pipes sticking out the front. It looks like a classic Italian designed coffee machine, but to use it, it has one button. So now I can look convincingly at my kitchen and think, wow, it's a fantastic coffee machine. I've got no hassle. Just got to pop it, press the button, and it's a cup of coffee there. So yeah, it's interesting because great technologies, by the way, if they're not implemented in an attractive way.
Like user experience.
User experience, yeah. And this is where Steve Jobs of Apple, I think, revolutionized the world. Particularly, he didn't invent any new technologies. Mm. He just packaged them.
Made them accessible.
And that's what we've always got to do. Right? Is, you know, and the process of simplification is really important. So, you know, designing things to use, to access, to they are to make them as simple as possible, and that explains everything from, you know, the actual tech we do, which is connectivity, to billing system.
Mm.
That, you know, I've noticed here today, there's a lot of people meeting the billing meeting. I never knew there were so many people that were involved in billing in our business, but Yeah, actually, they're having a really good session because we've just upgraded our billing platform. Some of our customers might be pleased to hear that.
True.
And we've been working intensely to try and make our bills simple to understand and readily accessible.
Fantastic place to wrap up there. Really good. Successful. Thank you, Kevin.
Thank you for coming.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
The joy.
You can come back again.
You can.